Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, and we're going to be talking about what's happening in the world financially. Well, it was fascinating to see Ben Bernanke on 60 Minutes last night. And this is the man who got up there. Now, he is the most powerful man financially in the world. Of course, you have to understand Ben Bernanke does just what he is told to. He does not run this country. He simply goes along with what he is told to do, just exactly as Timothy Geithner, who is the Secretary of the Treasury, and Henry Paulson, the man who preceded him as Secretary of the Treasury. But Ben Bernanke got up, and he said, you know, talking about what's going on. And, of course, last year when the members of Congress voted the $700 billion to get the financial markets working. They voted $700 billion to get the financial markets working. And if we could get the financial markets working, why we wouldn't be having the problems? Well, now Mr. Bernanke knows that Congress did not vote to give the $700 billion to get the financial markets working. They gave it to bail out the housing crisis. He knows that. He just hopes you don't remember that Congress voted for one thing and Henry Paulson was instructed to do something different and to start funneling money to the major banks. But what's even more significant is the fact that the financial system is working. The large banks have plenty of money. They've been able to lend money to India and to China and to Dubai and to Spain. They just won't lend any money here in the United States because they want to bring the whole financial system down. And once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. And with that as the background, let's get Bob Chapman's view. And do you agree or disagree, Bob?
Oh, I agree. And 2 points. Number one, they secretly channeled the money, which is dreadful, illegal, awful. And secondly, we have 10 cities all over the United States now. People are camping out. They don't know where the next meal's coming from. Crime is starting to rise. And money is going to foreign banks and foreign countries for foreign people, not for American citizens. So what kind of a thing is that?
Well, you see,
they
can't tell the American people that, and they have to sort of justify what's going on, by saying that, oh my goodness, we're getting we can't let AIG go down. Why? Of course, it would bring down the whole financial system. Rather than let it go down, we're going to funnel money to foreign banks, to Deutsche Bank, to Lloyd's of London. Why are we funneling money to foreign banks? Oh, well, we have to do that, and after all, we have to pay those large bonuses to the AIG executives who created the whole problem because we had contractual agreements with them. Well, I would think those contractual agreements would have disappeared when the United States government funneled $160 billion to AIG, but they said, well, gee, there's nothing we can do about it. We're just so sorry.
Well, the party giving the money to AIG, for which they received 80%, was the Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve didn't have that money. The Federal Reserve created that money out of thin air. And then, of course, they gave it to AIG for 80% of the action, and at the same time, AIG funneled it to all these other parties.
Well, if you own 80% of a company, you ought to be able to tell who's going to get the bonuses, and if people want to apply for the bonuses for faulty work and for betraying the company, then I'd take them to court. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bob Chapman. We're talking about the financial crisis that has been created here in the United States, and as we commented just a little earlier, Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve System, went on 60 Minutes over the weekend and said, you know, we just have to get the financial system working. The financial system doesn't have any money to loan. Now, he didn't mention that they had plenty of money to lend to India, plenty of money to lend to China, plenty of money to lend to Dubai and to Spain. They just didn't have any money to lend here in the United States. And, of course, as Bob was pointing out, the AIG, the American Investment Group, why have you given them $160 billion, and where are they spending it? Why, they're funneling it to the Deutsche Bank in Germany and Lloyd's of London and Great Britain and European banks. Why are they funding all that money here? You're seeing the greatest transfer of the wealth of the American people ever recorded in history, and the average American has no idea exactly what's going on. So you pick up the story, Bob.
It's a shoring up of the Illuminati system of controlling the financial world. Now, we are all well aware of the housing fiasco, now commercial as well as residential, and the collateralized debt obligations and ABS, etc. And one of the things that people don't talk too much about, although it's mentioned, is the tremendous derivative structure, which is, depending upon whose estimate you look at, from 700 trillion to 1.25 quadrillion. Nor do they talk about, and that's all unregulated, about all the unregulated hedge funds. Now, the hedge funds make up each day at least 50% of the volume in the New York Stock Exchange and in London, just to give you an idea. Now, all of those hedge funds are incorporated in the Cayman Islands or Bermuda or one of these other tax haven places like the British Virgin Islands, and they're all tax-free. Everything they do is totally OPEG. We don't know how much money they make unless they tell us. And they are all controlled by the black nobility out of London. And through the collapse of real estate, both through the derivative collapse, which is going to come when they want it to come, and
hold that, Bob. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just talking about the hedge funds, the unregulated hedge funds, usually owned Caribbean Islands, Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands, and of course they really are dealing, about half the business is done, the stock market is done through these unregulated hedge funds, which nobody has any idea what's going on. Of course, they lock into, according to Bob, the black nobility of Europe, which are the royal houses of Europe, which work behind the scenes with so much of what's going on and interlock with the Club of Rome and with the Bilderbergers and the other secret and covert organizations. But certainly, and you pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, the hedge funds, because of the takedown of commodities by the internationalists, have had to, over the last year or so, deleverage. They were leveraged anywhere from 5-to-1 to, at one time, 200-to-1. But most of them are leveraged somewhere between 10 and 50-to-1, including banks. And so, consequently, you have this, tremendous reduction of credit available. And this reduction of credit available has spread throughout the world. It's brought the stock market down. It's affected all investments. And it's not over with, although 70 to 75%, I think, is over with. And this was deliberately brought about. They haven't lost control. They're still in that capacity. And they will continue to do their financial manipulations, and their power is greater than that of the banks. But the banks and the hedge funds are controlled by the same group of people out of New York and London, but London's got the hammer because they have the ability through their tax havens to shelter people. And of course, at the same time, you've got the United States and Europe screaming about what's going on in Switzerland and Andorra and Liechtenstein and other places, but nary a word is said about Cayman, BVI, and Bermuda. And so it's a two-faceted situation. On one hand, there's the bad guys. On the other hand, there's the good guys. The good guys being these places that the British control offshore. And so it proves once again that the oligarchy, which is in place in Europe, controls everything. And yes, in the U.S. and other places, there are those involved, but that's really where the power lies. And this is very important because, you know, this is not something you can go and read someplace. This is something that has to be researched out and then put together. And quite frankly, and I know, Stan, you'll agree with this, it takes years and years and years to put together this kind of information and at the same time put it together and show the trail of how and where this goes and what they're up to is, like you said, deliberately collapsing the international system, particularly in the United States and in Europe, to bring about world government and a world currency.
And I think it's really so interesting, you know, unless you really can visualize what they do is they have the ability to create money out of nothing simply by the fractional reserve banking system, where they can expand massively this supply of money, but there's really nothing there. There's no currency behind it. It's all based upon your trust in the banks that they have the money, but they really don't. It's fractional reserve. They may be leveraged 1 to 10. They may be leveraged 1 to 20. They may be leveraged 1 to 50. In other words, they're lending $50 for every dollar they have, but you're gambling that they're going to actually be able to have that money. The world, it looks like, has lost somewhere between $30 and $60 trillion of wealth. Now, some people, I think, have said about $57 trillion. I mean, the American people have lost a phenomenal amount of wealth. Those people who are in the stock market have lost 50% of their investment. Many people have lost 30 or 40% of the value of their homes. And people don't understand what's really happening as this whole financial system implodes, and it's being done intentionally. That's the incredible thing about this. Ben Bernanke, of course, gets up there and has the audacity to say, only if we could get the financial system working, but the people in charge don't want it to work. They really want to impoverish the people not only here but throughout the world. And desperate people facing chaos will do almost anything. And this is what's going to happen. Only I think it's going to get far, far worse. Certainly it looks like the economy, you know, and Taiwan, Japan, China, all these countries are really having real problems, aren't they?
Well, they are. And I think the problems are quite evident, and I think that even though there are some positive things that are happening in China, they're very few, and the ability for China to surmount the problem that they have with keeping people at work, which is close to 30 trillion people who are unemployed right now. And, you know, the figure, no, it's not trillion, 30 million people who are out of work right now is very, very hard. And they're talking about spending $568 billion to fix that over the next few years. And that'll soften things, but, it's not going to change things an awful lot. The system is broken. And it's not going to be easily fixed. And that's what we continue to try to tell the listeners, because you must prepare yourself. And it's so important. And if you don't, you're going to be sorry.
Well, I really, as we saw, you know, the tremendous number of unemployment. I think the unemployment figures for last month were about 680,000 Americans lost their jobs, well over half a million just this last month. You know, and because certainly they got the $700 billion for the home foreclosures last October, and here we are 6 months later, and they said, just give us the money. You know, there's going to be chaos if you don't. Well, I think a couple of 100,000 people lost their jobs, lost their homes just last month. And they say, well, we're going to really do something. You can trust us. We're going to actually stop foreclosures. And yet every time they do something, things get worse. And I think a lot of this is simply to give the American people the idea that they're really doing something. All the time, they are intentionally not doing what needs to be done to solve the problem.
And they're still not. What they're talking about now is lowering the mortgage payments for people who should have never had a home in the first place, so that all the people who did the proper thing, they are being penalized. They are paying to bail all these people out. And it's wrong. And then, of course, at the same time, they're bailing all the lenders out. And it's wrong. And the American public knows it's wrong. And you have to say to yourself, well, what's next? We bailed out the banks, the big ones, some insurance companies, and also Wall Street. Now, we're talking about going and bailing out the owners of homes. Next will be commercial real estate. That'll be followed by those who can't pay their credit cards. And there's no end to it. It just goes on and on and on. It's absolute madness.
Well, because the problem would be if you had the money, you could somehow justify it. But when you actually have to go out and borrow the money to do it, when the federal receipts are actually falling, the amount of money the government's taking in at taxes is falling because people aren't working. Same thing is happening at the states and all across the country, why a county and a city governments are having to cut back. But the big tragedy is so many of our major corporations have been cut off from funds, and of course, you're one of the favored corporations, you can't get a loan. If you're one of the favored corporations, you can. That's how the game is played. And that's why, of course, so many of our major corporations, why Mervyn's and Circuit City, and so many of the companies, you know, that were based upon debt, are simply being shut down. If they, you know, have a close affiliation with the ruling elite, they get their money. If they don't, they don't. And they simply go into bankruptcy, and then their stockholders go right down in flames along with them. And this is a great tragedy. It's a game that they played over and over again. And unless you study history, you don't understand that they did this, you know, in the 1987. They did this in 1980. But of course, the grand play was back there in the during the Great Depression, when they intentionally created the Depression. And even Ben Bernanke will admit that. But, of course, his solution is to do just the opposite, which, of course, will destroy the value of our currency. At least we maintained some of the value of our currency back during the Great Depression, because there was a nominal gold backing, although they doubled the price of gold so they could double the amount of money that was out there and cut the value of money in half. But what Bernanke is doing, and they've come up with over $11 trillion that we don't have, that they're dispersing throughout the world. And a lot of it, they won't even tell Congress. They won't tell anybody where the money's gone, because it's a trade secret. I mean, how can you be giving away trillions of dollars of the American people's money and not tell anybody where it's gone? Well, we can't let the American people know why they might feel that the financial institutions that were getting it weren't worthy. Well, I think the American people have the opportunity to know. Or is it that they don't want the American people to know that a lot of this money is being sent overseas? Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman. And, of course, we'll take your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here at the Radio Liberty Network. Well, Bob, let's pick up the story. Have we heard any more about what the FDIC is going to do as far as raising additional funds? Are they actually going to raise those funds by borrowing the money from the Treasury? Or are they going to strip the local banks of the money that they need to lend out even further?
Well, I think they will continue to raise the tariff on the banks. And the small and medium-sized banks that are solvent are very, very upset about it, and we've written about it in the International Forecaster. And I think that the federal government, the Congress, will give the FDIC $500 billion. And that's the figure that they've asked for starters, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to go on and on for the next 2 or 3 years, and whenever they decide that they're going to pull the plug, well, they're going to do it. And we won't know when that is. We might be able to identify it as we move toward it. But we've got to go to hyperinflation first. This is their intention. And in that hyperinflation, you're going to have deflation in assets as well. And the internationalists then are going to go and purchase factories and businesses and highways and all kinds of things for a pittance, because they have money and create money out of nothing.
Right. It's a pretty
good. So they're going to go buy all that stuff up, and then they're going to pull the plug while they're having the Third World War going on.
Well, I just wish that you and I could produce money out of nothing by a fractional reserve system. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. We can create money out of nothing. Lots of people do. They go to jail for it. But I want to ask Bob, when he talks about real power center being in London, is he referring more specifically to the Crown Temple?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know anything about that?
To the Crown Temple.
What is the Crown Temple? You're going to have to excuse my ignorance. What is the Crown Temple? Is this Masonic Lodge?
Well, no, it's, as I understand it, there are three unique points on the earth, the Crown Temple being one of them, that exists as about a square mile of London as a some sort of a private corporation.
All right, that's known as a city, then. They refer to it
the
as
city of
the
London.
City, right.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and the other two points are Vatican City and Washington, D.C.
Well, let's ask Bob, can you elaborate on that at all?
I can't go any further than what you have because I don't know. It's one of the mysteries out there that I've never gotten into. We just know the important thing, and that is that the royal families of Europe control the Illuminati, and there are many around them, such as the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and so on. And the intimate nuances that exist out there, we know most of them, but we don't know a lot about that.
Okay, Mike, anything else before we let you go?
Good enough for now.
God bless. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. And, of course, we're going to go to Steve from Orange County. And hi, Steve, are you there?
Yes.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I wonder how come... Now, I know, and my friend Sally Bowman in the Inland Empire know that it's not the right time to buy a house, but...
Well, hold that thought right now. Just be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. We have Steve, who kept calling us from Orange County, and he had a question about, you know, it's not the right time to buy a house. What was the question, Steve?
Well, when do you think the collapse will be to the point where it'll be the right time to buy?
All right, fine. The question is, when would be a good time to buy a house, since probably the prices are going to fall a good deal more than they are today? What do you think on that, Bob? And how will Steve know when the right time is, other than, of course, reading the International Forecast?
Well, I think that we have 2 years to the downside, and that should work out to be about another 20% drop overall. And that's probably going to be it. But the important thing is not that that's the bottom. The important thing is this bottom going to be there for 5 or 20 years? You know, the return on investment is very poor in a house unless you have a rising market, and you're not going to have that for a long time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to tie up a lot of money in a house, which you have to fix and you have to insure and all of the things that you have to do to, you know, be in it and own it, I don't know that at this point in time it's something that you want to do unless you have to have a house. Now, if you live in an apartment and you got 3 or 4 children, you really want to try to get in a house, even though you know it's not going to go up in value, because you need the room and you're going to have to make the repairs yourself, etc. But
yeah, I don't have 3 or 4 children. I'm single.
All right, fine. Well, then
yeah,
hold off.
Yeah, well, if you just have 1 or 2 people, you don't need a house.
Okay, hold off for the time being, Steve, and just keep listening. Hey, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, I will.
Bye-bye, and let's go to Joe's calling from New Jersey. Hi, Joe. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, and I have a question, and it's in regards to Bob Chapman's estimation of where we're headed for this one world order. And I don't think for 1 minute that this is going to be deterred. I think it's going to come to place. And I'm wondering if, in fact, when all this finally is settled and they finally got what they want, this one world order, whether in fact it will have anything to do with what Scripture says. And Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians, and he says that, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape."
Well, I think you're probably right. I think that we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy from that point of view. Do you have any thoughts on that, Rob?
Well, I agree as well. The only thing is that, you know, we're not going to know until we get there. And when we get there, we don't know exactly what to expect. And will God be with us, come to earth? Will there be a second coming? We don't know those things. What will happen before that, besides economic and financial calamity? Will there be a great war and then wars among states? Or wars within states? Will half of more of the people in the world die? You know, there's a whole bunch of things to fit into that. We really don't know.
And we don't know the timing. Certainly these things could come to pass soon. They could come to pass in 50 years from now. But it's going to
okay,
be very interesting. Anyway,
yes,
thanks very much for calling, Joe.
Well, could I just add one little
sure, go ahead.
Here?
Go ahead.
Yes, and this is this thought. You see, if you notice, right after that, he says, sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. He likens it to a birth.
Right.
Now, I have this idea about this. I think Christians will know the timing of this birth, but not the day or the hour. Any woman who is pregnant knows when she's going to give birth of the year and the month, but no doctor even knows what day or what hour.
Well, we may be closer than we think. We'll just wait and see. But God bless, Joe. And please
okay,
get
God
those
bless.
People back there in New Jersey listening.
Bye.
And bye-bye. Okay, we've got Eddie calling from Enterprise, Alabama. Hey, how you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. Great show, by the way. I have a question for Bob Chapman there. On Friday in Jefferson County, Alabama, they canceled their credit default swap for the county bankruptcy, the bond that they haven't paid on. What exactly does that mean? It involved J.P. Morgan and Bear Stearns.
Do you have any idea what that's about, Bob?
Well, I think I know the case. And I think...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly Eddie was calling from Enterprise, Alabama, and apparently the local community had canceled a default swap. Now, could you explain, Bob, how can you cancel a default swap? I thought this was a contract, and what's really going on?
Well, I think that what J.P. Morgan did was entrap them in a deal that was really preposterous. And these people are trying to find a way out, and Morgan doesn't want to get exposed for what they've done. And the government is involved. They don't want the county to go under. And they've been fooling around with this thing, I guess, now for 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. So I don't know what's going to come of it, and it was canceled. They're probably in negotiations again. I don't know. I see nothing, you know, you get local newspapers there, so you would see things that pertain to that, but I don't, because I don't get those papers, nor has there been any national news recently on it. So,
all right, now basically,
it's in process.
Did this county or this community buy a bond of some sort, or issue a bond? What's that all about? Do we know?
Well, they got involved in credit default swap.
Okay. But
it went against them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I see.
And they've gotten buried by Morgan, is what it amounts to.
All right, fine. In other words, they bought a credit default swap, thinking it was going to be an insurance policy for them, and it turned out that Morgan wouldn't stand behind it. Is that it?
More or less, that's it.
All right, Eddie, does that answer your question?
I don't think there was any chance it could work.
Anything else, Eddie?
What it was a sewer upgrade did is what it was.
Right, uh-huh.
For upgrade of the sewer system of the city of Birmingham.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can't trust J.P. Morgan or any of these large banks. And they're based upon faith. Do not put your faith in them. In fact, stay away from any of these complicated financial arrangements, because I think they're all going to come cascading down one of these days. And that'll probably bring down the whole financial system. Everybody, God bless, and thanks very much for calling, Eddie.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. My telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a call for Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. But we are living in some of the most exciting, dangerous, really challenging times, at least of my life. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Bob Chapman. Before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get hold of a copy of the International Forecaster, perhaps subscribe to it. It's fascinating reading. It comes twice a week. I look forward to it, and it's about 25 pages, and takes me a couple of hours to go through it and get all the information, but vitally important information you to know if you hope to survive in times like these. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business finance, politics, and social issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually runs around 35 pages each time, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. And there's three ways you can get copies of either. You can go to our site, and that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. International, FORECASTER.com. You can email us at bob@intforecaster.com. That's bob@intforecaster.com. Or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. I think that you'll find the information fascinating. We've got David calling from Massachusetts. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. David, do you have a question or comment?
I do. Dr. Stan and Bob, I really appreciate everything you guys do, and I turn everybody I can on to you, and I really appreciate it. God bless you. Got a question for you on what's happening financially. I know that this is probably going to turn into some type of civil unrest, and I know that you had both talked about protection and having a gun at these times. What would your recommendation be if you do not have a gun permit? Would you go to the legal channels, or what's the best way to do that?
Well, each state has their own laws besides the federal laws. So if you're in Massachusetts, I don't know today what the law says. I mean, if you have a rifle, do you need a permit for it?
I believe so, yes.
Well, if that's the case, you have to get one. Otherwise, you're on the wrong side of the law. Of course, if all nastiness breaks loose, there won't be any law. So that's
right.
Another way to look at it. But
yep.
I would try to follow the law, but if you can't get a permit, well, then you have to decide what you want to do.
Okay, fine. And suddenly I think we're moving into some difficult times. Remember, this is only for your own protection, protecting yourself and your family, in case there are marauders around there. Anything else, Rich?
Anything else, David? No, I think that's it. I really appreciate what you guys do, and God bless you both.
God bless. And let's go to, we've got Rich calling from Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi, Rich. How are you doing?
Real good, Dr. Stan. God bless you guys.
Well, thank you, sir.
Question for Bob. I'm an electrician, and I've been blessed to be steadily employed, but I got about $200,000 in a union pension plan that I really can't get out. I got it out of the markets, but it's in the money market type thing. Is it too drastic to quit your job and to try to get that money out of the union pension plan?
How old are you?
53.
No, I keep it in the union pension plan. You've got it as safe as it can be made safe under the circumstances. And you obviously have a semi, at least, self-directed plan by being able to take choices within the union plan structure. I think the biggest problem that we're facing here is we don't know what government's going to do. And I saw a group in Massachusetts said today that they believe, or they agree with testimony. It was given about 3 months ago before the House subcommittee, and they and the information that I'm quoting from Massachusetts, which incidentally was in the Boston Globe today, they're talking about combining all of the pension plans under Social Security. And, of course, 80% of the people don't want that to happen. But what we want to happen has nothing to do with what we want. They do what they want in Washington because they're all bought off or they're compromised for the most part. There's a possibility that everybody may lose all their IRAs and 401ks and pension, et cetera. And so it's something that you're going to have to think about. They're trying to bring it forward, and I don't know whether it'll happen this year, but if they're going to try to bring it forward, it'll probably be next year. And the minute I see that that thing comes out of committee, I'm going to tell everybody to run as fast as you can. And another thing is that I think during that period of time, the stock market will go down. And I think more grievous losses will be taken by pensions as well as investors in the market. And so will cash value insurance policies and annuities. So if you've got any of those things, you should seriously consider getting out of them because they're in the market. And as the market goes down, the value goes down. And it would not be unusual in the last 21 months and say 2 years beyond now, in a period of, let's say, 3.5 years, that at the top of the market, at $14,000 a Dow, let's say that your pension or insurance policy or whatever it was worth $100,000, it's very possible it'll be worth $30,000. And if they amalgamate and went to the government, goodness knows what they'll be worth, probably next to nothing.
And of course, they have
to think about, and that's why it's so important. And I'm not saying this because I write the forecaster. All the things that you need to know are in there. And if you don't get it, you're shortchanging yourself.
Okay.
I'm a subscriber, and you saved me a lot of money. I got out when you told us to get out.
Okay, well.
I can only go so far with it.
All the people from Massachusetts are smart. You know that.
No, he's from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Well, then move.
Oh, God bless. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
And thank you, and God bless you guys.
Right, bye-bye. And but I would just simply point out that the government of Argentina actually did nationalize the pension funds there and simply just said, well, we can manage it better than you can. Governments don't care what the people want. This whole idea of representative government is simply fraud. That we have installed the invisible government, call it what you call, what I call it, the Brotherhood of Darkness. We've installed governments all throughout the world that are doing, well, right now, of course, they're doing whatever they can to try to survive. And, of course, Argentina's got terrible problems. They need money. So why not take the pension funds from the people telling them, we're here to help. We're afraid that you might lose your money in the stock market. Give it to us. And we'll lose it for you. Well, let's go to Tom, who's calling from Chicago. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Not too good, Dr. Stan. A little bit under the weather for the last few weeks.
Oh, well, are you taking your vitamin D and your alibiotic?
Oh,
because
a lot of it. Thousands
what?
Of IUs.
Okay.
What I'd like to ask Bob is, as a subscriber as well, is what's happening in Silver Theater for one thing, and another thing is at this juncture, you think that it would just be better to just take all of our money out of our IRAs within this year to pay, you know, substantially probably less than if we waited next year as far as the taxation.
Well, I think, you know, a compromise to that. Possibility of higher taxes on retirement plans and the fact that they may try to combine them with Social Security, you might be smart this year to take the money out. I assume you're in a money market fund.
Well,
if you are.
That along with all your recommendations as far as the mining shares.
Well, if you did that, you could transfer them out to a personal account, but I think you'd have to mark them to the market and find out what the values were. I don't know how that works. I haven't been in the brokerage business for 20 years, but you can check with your broker on that. And move half of it out. Or what you can do is sell half, take delivery of the money, set aside enough for taxes. If you're over 59.5, you won't have a penalty. And immediately reinvest it in the stocks that you were in a personal account.
In a brokerage account.
Right.
Right.
And you splitting it between 2 years is a good idea because it mitigates taxation. Are you over 59.5?
Yeah, I'm 63.
Yeah, well, there's no penalty, so
right.
You might take part or all of it. It's up to you.
But you wouldn't put the money in with give it to Uncle Sam until the end of the year, right, the money you owe him?
It wouldn't be due until next April.
Yeah.
I don't think. Now, mind you, I'm not a tax expert, and you should consult with your accountant on that.
You may actually have
to go ahead with it.
You may actually have to put some money in before that. I know in the past when we've sold something, right, we paid it right off. But you have to talk to your tax man, but they told us actually to make advance payments. Otherwise, they hit you for failure to pay your taxes, your withholding tax. Anything else, Tom?
How about Silver Standard and Gold Corp, Yamana, Ivanhoe Mines? What do you think about all those?
Oh, I'm not too big on Ivanhoe. And the others are fine. I also like Agnico Eagle and... this past Saturday's issue, I made a new recommendation, and that was MineFinders. And that's the first recommendation I've made in about a year and a half. And that's the ones that I've been recommending, which would be, again, Agnico, Goldcorp, Silver Standard, MineFinders, in producing mines. I have one speculation that I recommend, and that's it.
All right, fine.
How about Silver Standard, the way it's dropped, like, about 40%?
It's very volatile, and because it's only got about 60 million shares out. So it's very thin. It's very heavily traded. And the same thing is true with Agnico Eagle and MineFinders. Agnico Eagle only has 140 million shares out. Goldcorp has 700 million, but the other two only have about 60 million out, and that's important because there's a giant leverage on the upside.
Okay.
Thank you so much for all your advice. Both of you are really a godsend.
God bless, and thanks very much. Well, let's go to Bill, who's calling from Ohio. Hi, Bill. How are we doing?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Hey, have a question or comment?
Yes, I received a free copy of Bob's newsletter, and I was expecting to see some recommendations, but is that only if you're a subscriber or what?
Normally, yes. The only time I give out stocks on the radio is when I'm asked to. I don't like to tell people about what we're doing. And the reason why is the people who pay for the publication are the ones who should be able to take advantage of it first. In this case, they did, and they have been. We have a list of long positions and short positions that we send out once a month. It doesn't vary too often. They're all in enormous profit positions. And so occasionally we sell something or buy something, buying to cover a short. And so we refrain normally from sending that list out because it's not fair to the subscribers.
Okay, anything else?
I want to tell you something. When you see it, you won't believe it. It's incredible. I mean, people have made so much money, it's unbelievable.
So I have another question. So do you recommend a certain brokerage company that would work well?
No. You can go to TD Ameritrade or all of those others that... It doesn't make any difference, although there are people who would like to deal with brokers who are very knowledgeable in gold and silver shares. And when they ask me that, I send them to a couple of people, both of whom I've known for over 30 years. And incidentally, I in no way ever receive any compensation from anybody for anything that I recommend or do. The only people who pay me are the people who subscribe to the publication.
Okay, anything else,
too
Bill?
Too late, then.
Okay. God bless.
So it's not too late, then, to get in to the shares.
Well, let me give you an example. My find is around $7. It had a high of 14 last year. Agnico Eagle is around $48, and had a high of 83.5. So these stocks are really underpriced. So... we got a long way to go to the upside.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bob.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we certainly had a good representation across America this afternoon. But I think most people sense something is seriously wrong in our society today. And the Federal Reserve System is not doing what should be done to get us out of this problem. What we ought to do is let these major banks and AIG simply go down and get out of this artificial system, this fiat money system based upon credit. This is all that it is. There's not that much money out there, although they did actually double the M1 money supply here recently. I mean, how much did the M1 go up here in the last 6 months or so?
Oh, I can't remember. Those figures are in Friday's, Saturday's issue, and I pull them down. But it's substantial. They're probably running somewhere around annualized what was formerly M3, probably around 12, 12.5, 13, in that area. Inflation's running somewhere between 9 and 10. And, of course, it's going to stop jumping here in the next month or two as these amounts of money that have been monetized hit the street, so to speak. And so there's going to be some very trying and very exciting times for those who are in the right position.
Well, certainly right now, I have, Christian, an awful lot of good buys out there, and this I think it's a good time to lay in the supplies that you would need, food or anything else you really need to get. I don't think you'll ever get it cheaper than you will right now. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
I think you're right. We've got cost problems on farming. We have, especially with fertilizer, we have a large shift right now into soybeans, which means other beans and softs are probably going to go up. These prices, even though in the commodity market they came down, the prices of the things that we buy in the market haven't. You know, I get shredded wheat, and they changed the size of the box, but when the prices came down on commodities, they didn't resize the box again. So business is not going to do that. And so if you're going to buy food to put away, goodness gracious, do it now before it gets even more expensive than it is.
I certainly concur with you, and I think everybody ought to be making their plans for, we don't know what lies ahead, but this plan of laying an insurance policy, and if you never have to use it, fine, but I think we're moving into very uncertain times, because if you look and see what the people who are running our monetary system are doing, they're not doing anything logical. And certainly Mr. Geithner really can't explain what he's doing, you know, as he's the Secretary of the Treasury. Ben Bernanke tells us that he's really working very hard to try to straighten things out. But he keeps saying if we could only get the financial markets working. Oh, what do you think about J.P. Morgan? Do you think they have money to lend? It certainly looks like they've been lending money, but not here in America. This is the thing that's so irritating.
Well, you're right, and one of the interesting things that's happened here over the last several days is the figures are coming out on the tick figure, as it's called, and there has been a reduction of $148 billion by foreigners buying U.S. assets, most of which are treasuries. Now, those figures are probably true. And if they're true, then where is the money coming from? And I've said on the program before...
Hold on for just a moment here. Well, this is Bob was just saying that apparently in the last few days, why foreigners have quit buying American assets. And if the foreigners are not buying our T-bills, where is the money coming from that the government's putting out? And what's your theory on that, Bob?
Well, I think for the last 4 months that the U.S. Treasury has been selling Treasury bills to the Fed Reserve secretly, which in turn has been giving the money to the Fed, which they make up out of thin air. The Treasury takes that money and does what it pleases with it on a fiscal basis normally. And the Fed takes the bonds that they receive, they can hold them in their inventory, They can lend them, which they often do, especially in these times, or they can feed them slowly into the market. All of this is monetizing. All of this is inflationary. And what it's telling us is that foreigners are pulling back. They think they're going to get bagged big time, and they don't know what to do. And I think it's going to continue, and the monetization is going to continue. We're seeing monetization starting all over the world, and everybody's doing the same thing. They get zero interest rates, and then on top of that, they're increasing money and credit by about 14%. It's the worst of all worlds.
And, of course, this is a prelude to what happened in the Weimar Republic or in Zimbabwe. Anyway, we're out of time. Bob, God bless. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, and thanks so much. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan. This is the time when we certainly want to suggest that if you would like to get more information on what's happening, you need to understand the financial system. We have a book written in 1935 by Gertrude Krugen that was suppressed for many years. It's available at Amazon for $39.95. I think we have it listed at $14.95. We think it's an excellent source of information. We actually have my talk on the financial tsunami. But if you get it, you really need to get the syllabus. It was a talk we gave 3 years ago. But we simply explained what was going to happen. It's all happening now. We have, of course, the pamphlet on the history of money. And you need to understand the history of money. And, of course, how the system works and how they create money out of nothing. And then, of course, they get people to pay interest on it because it's a con game. We think that Bernie Madoff ran a Ponzi scheme where the government and the large banks have the biggest Ponzi scheme of all. And most people, when you're leveraged 40 to 1, why you make Bernie Madoff look like a piker? He has, you know, a scam of $50 billion. They've recently created $11 trillion, and they're funneling it all over the world. And they won't even tell the American people where it's going, and eventually will destroy our monetary system. And there's no better way to destroy a nation than to destroy its currency, and that's where we're headed. Well, certainly we hope that you want to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and Fiat Money Inflation in France. That's the four books. The first one's The Money Creators. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll certainly want to get the new DVD we have out. It's called The Eye of the Phoenix. It goes into the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill and the president who put them there, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was deeply involved with Satanism and with Manly P. Hall, who was one of the leading Satanists of the early part of the 20th century. Then, of course, you'll want to get the DVDs on the secret mysteries of America's beginning and Riddles in Stone, two separate, very professional DVDs that tell you the story of the secret societies that were here, when America was created, and, of course, America was created for one purpose, to lead the whole world into this one world order. And that's what they're doing today. And understand that we have literally destroyed the financial structure of the entire world because of the policies here. And many countries are far worse off than we are, but it's only a matter of time before we catch up with them. Make your preparations now. Make sure you have a good relationship with our Lord. If you need information on food or Berkey water filter or certainly the health products, give us a call. And then please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. President Obama is making moves to unlock credit for small businesses. Obama called small business one of the biggest drivers of employment in the U.S.
Small businesses are the heart of the American economy. They're responsible for half of all private sector jobs. And they create roughly 70% of all new jobs in the past decade.
Obama unveiled plans to make billions